speak on what is found at the end of verse 26. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Really, what we're going to look at this morning is, what is a true Christian? What is a true Christian? Because here were people, and they were called Christians first in Antioch. So let's look to the Lord for his help around his word today. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. We pray that God would bless us. We pray that God would give us understanding. I pray that the word is seasoned for everyone who, Lord, is found in thy presence. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truths that we find contained in it. We thank you for the message of salvation. The message about a great Savior who can save on to the uttermost. We pray that I will be witness now around thy word. Pour out your spirit upon us. Give the congregation ears to hear thy word and to understand it. And give me help to preach the word that you've laid upon my heart. Let everything be said and done to the glory of the Lord Jesus, our great Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. What is a Christian? I have no doubt that if you took this answer onto the streets around here, or particularly all over Australia or Northern Ireland, numerous would be the answer that would fall from the lips of people. I remember one time when I preached over in South Australia, going out around door to doors, and they brought a little survey with me, and there were different questions. And the question was, do you believe in God? Yes, no, or don't know? Do you go to church? Yes, no, or don't know? Do you have a Bible? Do you believe in eternity? Are you a Christian? And how do you become one? Just simple questions, and if I brought this to people's doors, it gave me an opportunity to preach the gospel in 2 minutes. I went to this particular door and I said to the man, would you like to take part in this little survey? Take you 2 minutes. He says, I'll give you 2 minutes. Do you believe in God? No. Do you go to church? No. Have you got a Bible in the house, sir? No. Do you believe in eternity, like heaven or hell? No. Are you a Christian? Yes. Well, I said to myself, oh, the Irishman wouldn't say that. Are you a Christian? He said, yes. And then I'd ask people, how do you become a Christian? Therefore, I could give them the gospel. But you see, the notion that people has, I'm a Christian, you know. I'm a Christian. Do you know that there are 2.1 billion professing Christians all over the world? And the sad thing about this is, when they count up the figures of Christians, they count anything or everything, or anybody who says, well, I'm a Christian. But they may not be a Christian at all. When I was looking at this study this week, I came across a man called the Reverend Jeffrey John. Now, notice the title. The Reverend Jeffrey John. He's a minister, so called. He's got a church. He's got a congregation. He stands up, he leads and sings in his church. He's got a Bible, and he actually was going to be a bishop. This was over in England. And this man, if he went to his door, says, sir, are you a Christian? He says, well, I am a Christian. But you know what that man said? He said, Christ's crucifixion for the sins of mankind is repulsive, insane, and makes God sound like a psychopath. That's what that man said. That Christ's crucifixion for sins of mankind is repulsive, and it's insane. And what he was really saying, Christ comes to die for our sins, it's nonsense. It is wrong. Are you saying to me this man's a Christian? You see what I'm telling you? It's not everybody who names the name of Christian as a Christian. You must have the nature. You must have the nature of a Christian. And that's what happened in this day and age all over the world, not just ancient, in Northern Ireland. No doubt there are people has a name, but not the nature. Not the nature of a Christian. We cannot even be surprised at this because the Lord Jesus Christ himself He spoke of such people. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said in verse 21, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And the Lord Jesus tells the people, and listen to the words, they come to Christ and they say, "Lord, Lord," they're saying that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're not heathens. They're not atheists. They're saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." And they say, "Lord, in thy name, we have prophesied in thy name. Lord, we have preached. And not only that, we have done many wonderful works to be in Bibles." But the Lord said he never knew them. He said he never knew them, friends. And see, what I'm saying to you is this, that we're carrying the title of a Christian. And we're through their whole life, but at the last, they were rejected by the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. They were not a true Christian. So therefore, we're faced with this question. Then what is a true Christian? Well, am I glad I put the Bible? Are you glad to put the Bible today? Not my opinion. My opinion of a Christian is worth nothing. Neither is yours. It is what God says, what makes a man or woman, boy or girl, a real Christian. Because listen, we want that which is real. I want this in my life which is true. And I'm sure you want the same. I'm glad I've got the Bible. I'm glad the Lord can tell us what is a true Christian and different things about them. And here we find that the Christians at Antioch, or the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The word Christian is, and Christians is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. That may really now surprise some people, but only 3 times. Here is one instance that they were called Christians first at Antioch. I want us to think about what is a true Christian. I want to think first of all the Christian and his supernatural birth. Now, if you want to follow me, you can. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, it tells us here some lessons about a true Christian. It talks about something that happens to a person that makes him a Christian. And the supernatural birth is a Christian is one who has been born again of the Spirit of God. Now just read John 3. It says in verse 1, "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that God doeth, except God be with him. Jesus also said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the Spirit, of born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." I want us to follow here what the Lord Jesus is saying for this one. Remember, here's a man who's a ruler. Here's a man in a high position. Here's a man who's religious. He's a Pharisee. Imagine me going up at Nicodemus' door, knocking his door, and saying, "Nicodemus, I want to ask you some questions. Well, do you believe in God?" He says, "Sir." "Have you got a copy of the Bible?" These Pharisees could quote the Bible from memory. Do you pray? He says, "Listen, I pray, I fast, I tithe, I'm a wonderful man." He had religion. But listen, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." 3 times in this passage, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And verse 7, "You must be born again, Nicodemus. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to say I believe in God." He says, "You must be born again." A supernatural birth is needed to be a Christian. Now, that's what Christ said. What did he mean? If it doesn't mean anything. A true Christian is one who's born again to the Spirit of God. This is the teaching of Christ. And he said this, as I have already said here, to a religious man, Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit of God. A born again Christian has been regenerated or brought to life by the power of the Spirit of God. Born of water means the Word of God and the Spirit of God. A born again believer receives Christ as a Savior. If you look in John 1 and verse 12, it says, "For as many as received Him." Now, it's not about receiving Christ as your Savior. Give me power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Here's what it says. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There it is. How is a person born again? What is the fruit? He receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And when he receives Christ, it shows that he's born again. He becomes a child of the King. And oh dear friends, this is one of the great marks of a Christian. He is one who is born from above. He is one who is born of the Spirit of God. Think of these disciples in Antioch, were they born again? Think even of the disciples. The disciples that preach, the disciples that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, were they born again? Well, of course. What did Peter say? Remember Peter the fisherman, he followed Christ. He says in 1 Peter 1 verse 23, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And here is Peter, a disciple of the Lord. What's he preaching about? Listen, born again. What about James? In James 1 verse 18, he says, "Of his own will begat us with the word of truth." The word begat means to be born again. John, in 1 John 3 verse 9, says, "Whosoever is born of God." Now what I'm showing you here, here is a message in the Bible. Here is a truth in the word of God. You see, Paul can write, "If any man had not the Spirit of Christ," in Romans 8 verse 9, he is none of his. If you haven't got the Spirit of Christ, what Paul is saying, if you're not born again, you don't belong to Christ. And a true Christian then is one who is born again of the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and by trust in Christ. We must remember that. A person not born a Christian. I don't think anybody here in this meeting would say, "Well, I was born a Christian." But you're born in a Christian home. That's why I do privilege, and I said to you, if you say, "Well, no, I was brought up in a Christian home, my father and mother loved the Lord and read the Bible," that is a great blessing. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. I'm sure you've heard it said, if you're born in a hen house, it doesn't make you a hen. It doesn't make you one. You see, dear friends, we're born sinners, every one of us. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And the little child that we love so well, and we love to see little children coming into the world, and when we look at that from that little innocent child that's only brought into the world, it's born in sin, it's yet to live. Oh, it's not too bad when it's first few months old, isn't that right? Watch it grow. It gets 3 years old, and what? You can see how they're a bit of trouble. The terrible foods running about the house. And then when it gets 22, all the parents know what I'm saying. You don't have to teach your children to do wrong. They're not saying do wrong. But try to teach them to do right. Why? Because they're born in sin. They're not born a Christian at all. They may be born with the best possible background, the best parents, parents who love Christ, who are saved. But they're not born a Christian in their home. Lord, dear friends, it tells us here that we're born again of the Spirit of the living God. So a true Christian is one who's born again. He's born again in the Spirit of God. I'm glad on the 19th of January, I think 85, I trusted Jesus Christ. Excuse me. That's my Savior. And I'll see it. Now, you may not be able to point back to a specific place, specific time. I'm not saying no people can. But do you know if you ever see Christ as your Savior? Trusting Jesus only with all of your heart is born again of the Spirit of the living God. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. It's not something we can put to the one side. It's not something we can think about. It is not something we can do without. We cannot be like Nicodemus and say, well, I've got my Bible, I've got my religion, I've got my faith. You must be born again. Thank God this church or denomination preaches that message. You must be born again. Sure, you heard of George Whitby. He's a great evangelist. He preached in America, preached in England, he's a wonderful man. And you know, he used to always preach on this thing, you must be born again. And I think he preached 200 times or something on this text. And somebody said to him one day, why do you preach on, you're always preaching this text? He said, it's because you must be born again. And that's true, isn't it? So a true Christian is one who's been born again. And it's good for all of us, and we're singing that great hymn, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Know my heart. Lord, am I your servant with me? Am I born again? Am I your child? Lord, I want to be saved. I want to get to heaven. I'm sure not the person in this meeting would say, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want everlasting life. You must be born again. We trust Christ with all our heart. To as many as receive Him, receiving Christ into our hearts, then we're born again. But I want to say something else here. We can draw it out from this passage in Acts chapter 11, the Christian and the scriptural beliefs. Now it says that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. I was talking about these people who have seen. Now, if you look at verse 21 of Acts chapter 11, we notice some things about these believers who were first called Christians, about their beliefs and their behavior. It says in verse 21 that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number, notice, believed, and notice, and turned unto the Lord. Here it speaks about true Christianity. These people who were first called Christians at Antioch, it tells us how they became Christians. It tells us what happened in their spiritual experience. It talks about their faith. They believed. They believed, you see. And this is the central truth of the Bible. The just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, that man who was brought up in the Church of Rome, that man who was deceived by those teachings, he came across this wonderful, the simple truth. It's faith in Jesus Christ that saves. We've just got to believe. We've just got to trust Him. That's what it means. Here were people. We could now preach to this group of people. The gospel was preached, and they believed. What did they believe? Well, look at verse 20. It says, came speaking of the gracious preaching the Lord Jesus. They believed that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells of Philippians 2 and verse 10 and 11, at the name of Jesus, every living nation shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord Savior, Lord Jesus, He's Lord. He is God. And there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Everybody who's ever lived in this world one day will fall down before Christ and say that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here was people with their faith. They believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Jehovah's Witnesses are really put around this community. They don't believe this. They don't believe that our Savior is the second person of the Trinity, that He is God. He came to my door one time in Kikil. And I was talking to the man, and he was denying this wonderful scriptural truth, who the Lord Jesus is. And I looked at him and I said, listen, sir, could you finish the verse? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is who? And he fumbled and fumbled. And I looked up at the key and I said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is who? And he wouldn't answer. And I looked at him again and I said the same words. He wouldn't answer me.
said, I tell you who he is. That Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is God who has come in the flesh. You see, friends, it's important we have the right Christ. There's a whole lot of talk about a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus in the Bible. The Roman Catholic Church will talk about a Christ too, but it's not the Christ of the Bible, because they believe they can beat him every week and every day, in fact. It's not the Christ of the Bible. It's important that we have the right Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they believe this. They believe in the Lord. Their faith, they believe in the Lord. And this is the Lord Jesus. You see, they only believe that Jesus is Lord. They believe that Christ is the Savior, because the name Jesus means Savior. And here were our people. And what wonderful news they heard this day. All these people come in to preach the Lord Jesus. And they heard the great news of the gospel. And they heard about a Savior who could save them from their sins, save them from hell, and give them everlasting life. And his name was Jesus. And they believed. And they said, Lord Jesus, save me. I am nothing but a sinner. I have sinned against thee, Lord Jesus. I trust you to save me. I tell you, friends, you see any creeds or things in this, and these people become Christians? They believed, and they were saved. They trusted Christ. That's the teaching of the Bible. Oh, it's not be us complicating the Word of God. I'm glad we preach. I'm glad I preach the message of the Bible, the gospel of Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. I met a man in my work in Northern Ireland, and he started debating me about the things of God. And I'll tell you the truth, he complicated everything. He was quoting Hebrew, he was quoting this. I hardly know English, as you probably know by now, with the accent. But nevertheless, he was quoting this and quoting that. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 2 minutes to tell me how to be saved. And he would hem and haw, he would all these big words and all. I just, 2 minutes, he couldn't tell me. I just, I'll tell you how to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And I said, I'm glad I'm knocking around the doors with your message, because you complicate the whole thing. And I would, listen, friends, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Not simple. Come to Jesus Christ with all your care, with all your sins. And believe that he can save you. And listen, trust only him to save you. These people were not trusting themselves. They were trusting Christ. Listen, we were singing a great hymn. On Christ is all that I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Why should I trust any other thing than the Lord Jesus? He is my Savior. Not these people were not trusting themselves. They were not trusting their prayers. They were not trusting their works. They were trusting the Lord Jesus. You see their faith. Have you that faith today in your heart? You say, no, my faith has found a resting place. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that's where my faith is today. This is true Christianity. It's Jesus only. Lord Jesus, not Lord Jesus Christ, and the works will save us. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ in any particular church will save us. It's Jesus Christ only. This is true Christianity. I believe Jesus saves, as we sing in our hymn book. And his blood washes whiter than snow. These people, their faith, but notice also their forsaking of their sin in verse 21, and turned on to the Lord. Oh, something wonderful had happened in these people's lives. They were changed. They believed, they did, but they had turned on to the Lord. There was a new life. They had a new life now. They had a new love. They had turned on to the Lord. They say, oh, here were people who were out in deep in sin and idolatry, far away from God. But they had turned. They had turned on to the Lord. Here is what we know as repentance. They had turned. Some people think to say, Lord, give me all my sins into life and just go on. But repentance means that you turn around. You're going the wrong way of sin and the world and of Satan and the worst hell. And well, we turn around and we come to Christ. And a new step in our life. And with new faith, and with new love, you see, we have turned on to the Lord. These people have turned on to the Lord. With all of our heart they have turned. Paul was writing to the church of Thessalonians, and he said in chapter 1 and verse in the verse 9, of course that's 1 verse 9, but then it says, show us what manner of brethren then we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He's writing this church. And he was saying that there about them, they had turned from their idols. They had turned from their sin to serve the true and the living God. You see, this was true Christianity. They had looked at it. They had turned from their sins. And the wrong right over there, I'm a Christian, if they're still living in sin. Now I'm not preaching this morning sinless perfection, but there's idol sin, I'll be telling lies. But not the man who needs to be. And you shall run after sin. I tell you, God in this faith who saved, you shall run after the world. But they have turned, sometimes sin catches up on us. But we're not the people who needs to be. This, can I say to you, is true Christianity. Faith and repentance towards God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, have we got this? We can search our heart. Listen, I can search my heart today. We will say, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Has these things happened in my life? Has these things happened in your life? Maybe you're unsaved in this week. You say, no, I am not born again. I have never repented. I have never put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want you to become a Christian. We want you to see it. You see, the Christian and his scripture beliefs, faith and repentance, trusting the Lord Jesus only as a Savior. Can you say that? If you can say that, yes, no, you're a true Christian. I'm trusting Christ. But I want to go on, I want to look at the Christian and the Savior's blood. The next chapter 26, you'll find the next mention of this word Christian in the Bible. Acts chapter 26, Apostle Paul's given a great testimony before this King Agrippa. Down to that wonderful day, and I find the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26, it saw verse 14, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard to be against the prince. Here's a man, and he's against Christ. He's against God. And he's going on in his sin. But the Lord comes, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? To who am I, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. You know, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He met the Savior who stopped him in the manger ear that he was in, who stopped him reaching down towards a lost eternity. I am Jesus whom I persecuted, and Saul was saved, and he's given his testimony. Now, he's saying all these things before King Agrippa. He's telling this king how he was saved. If he knows what he says to him in verse 22, or verse 23, he says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise. And if he knows the words that he said in his testimony, that Christ should suffer, we should stop here for a moment. Here Saul, this man who saved the mighty apostle, man who made power and made works, and he's given his testimony before the king. But in his testimony, he's speaking about the blood. And he's speaking about Christ. And he's speaking about Calvary. And he's speaking about the cross. And he says that Christ should suffer. He's talking about the blood of God. This is giving us testimony. How about the nature of the blood? It is Christ that suffered. We do know that the Bible says God became man. Christ is God, that he suffered. It says in Acts 20, verse 28, the verse of the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We see also the need of the blood. He shows us in the very fact that Christ should suffer. That Christ should suffer for sin. Oh, there's a need of the Savior of the blood, King Agrippa. Christ came into this world. He is God. He came into this world. Oh, but he had to suffer. And that's the case in the Bible. Christ had to die. It was not enough the Lord Jesus come here to this world to give us an example. And let me tell you this. We can learn much from the life of Christ? Do I want to know how to love one another? You read Christ. Do I want to know how to love your enemies? Just read his life. Do I want to know how to pray? Well, just read and just go on. But that's not why Christ came. He came to suffer. He came to die. He came to shed his blood upon the cross. He came to put away our sin. Hebrews 9, verse 26. But now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And here it tells us why he came. He came to put away my sin. He came to suffer the wrath of God. He came to die. He came to shed his blood in order that we might receive this. There's the need of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he talks about the Savior's blood. One man came to minister one time and he closed his service. He said, I don't see the necessity of the blood of Christ in salvation. He said, I can be saved without believing in the shed blood. Well, how do you think you're saved, said the minister. All he says, by following his example. Thus is not for any more. I just live my life that Christ lived his life. The minister says, well, 1 Peter 1 verse 2 verse 22 says, who did no sin, neither was shame found in his mouth. He says, that's what it says in Christ. He did no sin, neither was shame found in his mouth. He says, I suppose you could say that about yourself. Well, the man was embarrassed. He says, well, actually, I can't. Because I have sinned. I have failed God. Oh, the minister says, in that case, you need an example. You need a Savior. That's salvation through the blood. Oh, dear friend, Paul tells them about the blood of Christ. We come to this book, it tells us about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It tells us about his love, the shed blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, dear friends, we need no other arguments when we need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Oh, the Christian, the true Christian, he talks about the blood. He says, it's not my works that saves me. It's not my church that saves me. It's not my religion. He says, it's the man of Calvary. But Paul said, he loved me and gave himself to me. I am depending on the blood. That's what Paul is saying to King Agrippa. Oh, you are a great king. You're a man of authority. You're a man of power. But all I want to tell you, that Christ should suffer. He tells him about the blood. You see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Then he says, nothing in my hand I bring, but send me to the cross of Christ. If you said to me today, Lord, how are you getting into heaven? Why are you going to heaven? I'll say, appointed to Christ. Appointed to the blood. The sacrifice the Lord Jesus made that cleanses from all sin. The true Christian talked like the blood of the Lamb. We sing a hymn in our book, you know what it says? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a great question. Well, a true Christian can say, yes, I have been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is a testimony that Jesus died for me. No other hope for acceptance of God. Nothing but the blood. Is that your testimony? Is that your faith, my friends? Nothing but the blood. This is true Christianity. This is true Christianity. The old Pharisee, the Lord spoke to, had his religion, he had his laws, he had his rituals, he had everything. He didn't have the blood. But Christ took him to that. You read on down in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so was the Son of Man. But he lifted up, he tells him about the blood, he tells him about the sacrifice of Christ. You see, the true Christian and the blood. Our time is here gone. There's one more mention of this word Christian in the Bible. In 1 Peter and chapter 4. And 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, if any man suffer as a Christian. It's talking about his suffering as a Christian. You know when you see it, it doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. We all find that. You have problems in life, difficulties. Suffer as a Christian.
Christian has battles. Spiritual battles are battles, you know. The Lord has not promised all of his people an easy way to heaven. He promises us a safe way to heaven. But don't make it there, you know, when they're safe. There may be storms to pass through. There may be trials to pass through. But we'll all get to the other side of the shore when you're safe, you know. This is teaching of the Bible. You have your blood and suffer as a Christian. No doubt you will be healed. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 22, and you shall be healed of all men for my name's sake. You know, not everybody's going to like us because I'm a Christian. And when I stand and preach the message that I preach today, there are many people and many professing Christians who said, I don't like that what I said. That may be true. I guess in the other Ireland. I guess in the different other parts of the world where I preach the gospel. And you may be healed and may be despised. May have suffered as a Christian in the Christian body. May not be like, maybe you are a Christian, may not really like it. Before the stand you're taken, for the life of living. But nevertheless, you may be healed. Well, the battle I want just to be for 2 minutes is the battle to be holy. The two Christians, there's a battle going on within their body. You only get saved, there's a war takes place, starts. The Bible tells in Galatians 5 or 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other, so they cannot do the things that they would. And the true Christian has a battle going on for them. What is the battle? The flesh against the spirit. The old man, he wants to go the way of the world. He wants to say the same things. He wants to do the same things he used to do. But the spirit, and there's this constant battle going on within their heart. The battle of holiness. To be more than nice. To sanctify, sanctification is a biblical term that is used. That this progression, daily, weekly, yearly, become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. This struggle between the old nature and the new nature. That's a good sign of born again. There were some Christians in those days, they could always cast out, oh, I'm a wretched man, the feel of the sin within them and the battle within their heart. Well, listen, that's a great sign that something's happened within you. There was a time in your life the battle never took place at all. You just ran away of the world. You ran away of sin. But a true Christian has this spiritual battle within their soul. Oh, dear friends, what is a true Christian? Quite briefly, I've told you. He's one supernatural birth. He's one of scriptural beliefs of faith and repentance. He is one also that has this battle within his soul and about the Savior's blood. Are you a true Christian? Are you dependent on Christ? Are you saved? Have you prayed to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I'm glad I have a Savior today. Are you glad to have a God your Savior? You can rejoice that you have a great Savior in the Lord Jesus. The world passes us by, but I'm glad today. I'm looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. May He write this truth upon our heart. If you're not a true Christian, not saved, maybe you knew that before you came to this meeting. You know you're not ready with God. He said, well, it's time I'm ready with God. I have wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The day will come to Christ today. If I can help you, speak to me after me. Glad I'll open up the Bible and show you even more clearly the way of salvation. And you'll find peace today, and you'll find rest. Believe it.